Is the car service Uber a ball and chain for some drivers? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. But first, the big department store chain Macy's reported profits down sharply last quarter. The store said today the 14% drop is due in part to fewer foreign tourists buying American. The high dollar makes shopping in the U.S. more expensive for many visitors. Also this morning, news that retail sales nationally were flat last month. Gus Fauché is senior economist at the PNC Financial Services Group.
We could have fewer foreign tourists coming into the United States purchasing goods here. I mean, that's a big thing in some parts of the country where you have foreign tourists coming in to purchase American products. They're often cheaper here than they are overseas. But with the stronger dollar, that's going to be a drag. But for most Americans, the stronger dollar in and of itself shouldn't be making much of a difference, and the drivers should be pretty positive. So I think consumers are just still very cautious. They're still feeling the effects of the Great Recession. They are getting some benefit from lower gasoline prices, but I think they're saving a large portion of that. As gasoline prices stay low and as we continue to see decent job growth, I do expect consumers will open their purse strings somewhat, but I think it's going to be a gradual process.
Retail sales over the last 12 months have risen a scant 0.9%. Now, when it comes to news in print, there was the printing press, sometimes the photocopy machine, then the World Wide Web. Today, Facebook. Starting in just a few minutes from now, Facebook users will see more than links to articles in places like the New York Times and other media giants, but articles published on Facebook itself. Stan Alcorn reports.
Nearly one in two internet-using Americans gets news each week from Facebook, according to a Pew survey. That's more than from CNN. And Facebook's chief product officer, Chris Cox, makes the case that these instant articles are to give them a better experience.
One of the huge issues we see is how long it can take for those articles and news to load, which we know on phones is a really big deal.
It is true that it will load and create a better experience for users, but it's also true that Facebook will get more data and also enable them to sell more ads.
Ben Schachter, internet analyst at Macquarie Securities, says because Facebook has 2 million advertisers and advanced ad targeting, it should bring the news organizations more ad revenue, too, even after Facebook's 30% cut.
In a lot of ways, it is a win-win-win.
That may be true today, but Nieman Journalism Lab director Joshua Benton worries about 5 years from now.
Down the road, I think the dystopian vision is that this is another step towards Facebook becoming the internet.
Which is a lot of power for one company. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
The fatal Amtrak derailment last evening in Philadelphia could cut off service for days on what had been a burgeoning route. Amtrak ridership in this northeast corridor was at a record high last year. 15 years ago, airlines easily beat Amtrak on the New York-Washington run. These days, it's the other way around. People who drive for the smartphone-managed car service Uber use their own vehicles. What about people who want to drive but don't have good enough credit for a loan to buy a car? Well, Uber has a finance program for drivers with spotty credit, but the interest rates. Sam Harnett reports.
Richard Bunnell is 58 years old. He thought Uber would be a nice retirement job. Now, he feels trapped into driving for the company.
It's like a ball and chain. It's ridiculous.
Brunel got a car through Uber's low-credit finance program. His loan payment is about $1,000 a month and has a 22.75% interest rate. So in the end, Brunel will pay twice what the car actually costs. At first, he thought he could cover the payments and still make a profit. But now Brunel says he's working just to break even.
I'm still driving a few days a week trying to make the payment because if I don't make the payment, they're going to come repo it. I've already fallen behind a few. I'm just trying to get by.
Here's how the financing plan works. Uber connects low-credit drivers to dealers and lenders. Then it's up to the driver to negotiate the terms of the loan. Uber deducts the payments directly from the driver's monthly earnings. Uber says thousands have used the program. It had me talk with driver John Hutcherson, who says he's happy with the loan.
Just the thing about it being no-hassle financing was really the thing that attracted me.
Hutcherson says working with Uber was easier than going to a dealer by himself because his credit isn't so great. Uber spokesperson Kristen Carvel says that's the point of the financing program. It helps people like Hutcherson get cars. And to boot, drivers get a little discount on the cost of the vehicle. But if you don't drive, you still have to make the payments. Hutcherson says he had to dip into his savings when he stopped driving because of two accidents.
The way that this deal works is that when you're not working for Uber, you pay for it out of your own pocket, you know, like you do with a traditional car loan.
Another troubling aspect is who Uber partners with. It's working with subprime lenders like Santander Consumer USA.
This is one of the most notorious subprime auto lenders in the United States.
William Black is an economist at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and a former bank regulator. He says Santander is known for predatory practices like sky-high interest rates and hefty fees. Uber works with multiple lenders, says spokesperson Carvel, and they provide loans for people with all kinds of credit. Richard Brunel isn't impressed. He feels like Uber would deal with anyone to get more drivers on the road.
I feel like Uber not only tossed us to these wolves, but they intentionally did it, and they're making bank on it.
Brunel says he's stuck. It's either drive or the repo man. Now he's going online to tell others not to take the financing and get trapped like him. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And in California, the American Civil Liberties Union has sent letters to state and federal employment officials suggesting Hollywood has systematically failed to hire women as movie and TV directors. Now the Directors Union is adding its voice. The Directors Guild of America says networks and studios are to blame for what the union calls a deplorable dearth of women directors. There's evidence that there are fewer women directors now than 20 years ago. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.